Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem, BPM number 107. That's Bais Pnimi, Shir for Men, Shir number 107. Nothing in life will affect you as much as your closest relationships, especially your marriage. People do a decent job at preparing themselves to get jobs, how to make money, to buy things, learn how to do things, learn how to drive a car, learn how to do whatever profession you want to do, your learning, your other things. But we are not taught, nor are we teaching our children the truth, that nothing in life will affect us as profoundly as our closest interpersonal relationships, in family life, and in particular in marriage, where the Shechinah dwells when there's Shalom. There's a lot of studies linking good health to the quality of connected, healthy relationships. And we need to work towards making that an extreme priority in our lives. Feelings do matter, whether you want them to matter or not. In this book, This Is How Your Marriage Ends, he writes honestly about himself that he had that inability to empathize in the right way. Not that he was a terrible person, but towards his wife, there was a neglect and an indifference that, looking back, he deemed it terrible. He remembers looking back at when his first son was born, and he was texting friends while his wife was in labor, and you know, you would think, I would never physically abandon my crying wife in such a situation. But she gave birth, and she wanted him there to stay overnight with him. She just had an emergency C-section, and she was struggling to nurse, and it wasn't going well, and she really needed him there. And He said he shrugged it off. You know, the nurses will take care of you. Don't worry, everything will be okay. And the doctor also said everything will be okay. Turns out they were both wrong. It was not okay. She needed him there. He realized this a lot after his divorce, looking back. This was one of the things that hurt the marriage terribly. That lack of empathy at that moment. And good people can be bad spouses. Good people unwittingly destroy marriages. Damage comes and happens because you didn't see it coming. You would say, even if you made a mistake, oops, it was a mistake. There's certain things where just our brain has to learn to be wired differently. We have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help our brains be wired differently, to be attuned to the other, to be noisa ba'olim chaveroi, especially your wife. They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And we often do this, even when we're not hurting intentionally, we're hurting unintentionally. But this invalidation, triple threat that we talked about in the last two shiurim, come from a theme that happens over and over, and we think about it, we do this all the time. Number one is, we contradict the intellectual, thoughtful, thought process experience that our wives share with us. We contradict it very often. We contradict her emotional experience that she's sharing with us. And the third one, which we talked about in the last year, is we defend our character. And we justify our actions based on what we knew at the time and imply that we will repeat in the future the same behavior that our wives just finished telling us that was hurtful to them. Now, does a husband think, unless they're abusers and terrible people, they say my wife just said that and she's a stupid idiot and she has a small brain and she doesn't know what she... No, we don't do that. We don't intentionally harm. We don't intentionally hurt. But this nevertheless creates a tremendous amount of pain. Unintentional pain and unintentional breach of trust will end the relationship as intentional ones do. It'll be just a slower process. If we don't learn those behaviors, if we don't learn those behaviors, then our marriage will either fall apart completely or will be very distant. I'm going to share with you a story he shares. Listen carefully. You may not relate to this particular matziv that we're talking about here, but I know that this will resonate with many husbands if they think about this in the way they interact with their wives. The idea is that accidentally, even not meaning to, or ignorantly, meaning I didn't know, when you hurt somebody when you didn't mean to or you didn't know, accidentally or ignorantly, you're still hurting them. You're still hurting them. So he says he has a client. This is a fascinating story. Listen carefully. Guy's name is Donovan. And a significant pain trigger for his wife turned out to be there was a pair of dehumidifiers in the family's basement laundry room with the two dehumidifiers that are to take out the moisture from the air there that will help with the laundry and everything else. So there's a laundry room there. So this kind, loyal, but increasingly sad woman, the wife of Donovan, made her way to the basement every day in service of her family's laundry needs. She dutifully washed everyone's clothes, her own, her husband, her children's, in the washing machine, transferred to the dryer, sometimes folded them, sometimes hung it up for everyone. She toiled silently doing this lonely, invisible, thankless work for more than 2 decades. And she's in that laundry room doing that. And she would glance over at 2 dehumidifiers designed to prevent the basement dampness and to help protect their home from water damage. And their silence announced these dehumidifiers are not running. Their lit up red indicators communicated that the bins were full of water and needed to be emptied before they started running again. Now, she had asked her husband to be on top of this often. And these red lights communicated to her something else in her mind. Your husband didn't take the 45 seconds to come downstairs and empty those water bins, even though you kindly asked him dozens of times and he promised he would. And he could be sitting upstairs, he's having a beer, he's watching baseball on TV. She's downstairs folding his underwear as he's having his beer and watching baseball on TV. And suddenly she would cry in the basement, folding the laundry with the 2 not usable dehumidifiers, and feel like the loneliest and most invisible and most unimportant and most unloved person in the world. She strongly considered ending the marriage that had taken up most of her life, and that a marriage that her and her family's identity was wrapped around. Meanwhile, her husband is upstairs clueless of her suffocating sadness as he's watching the next pitch. Sometimes his wife would say something about the dehumidifiers being full and needing to be emptied. Sometimes she would talk about how disappointing and upsetting it was for her that they were constantly full, leaving her with a choice. She could do it herself, even though he promised that he would, or go interrupt whatever he's doing and be a nag. She could do that. And sometimes when her sadness and frustration would boil over, she would tell him how much the situation upset her. Now the husband is thinking, good grief, like she's whining over dehumidifiers again. What happens if there'll be a power outage, God forbid? You know, she'll really go off the wall. But that's not what the wife's thinking. The wife's thinking totally different. It's not a matter of emergency, not emergency. Her mind process and her thoughts and her feelings are saying, I spend every moment of my day serving my husband and my children, and he can't prioritize even 1 minute of his evening or weekend to empty the dehumidifiers. Something I care about isn't worth him remembering. It doesn't matter to him. And she looks around and she looks at her thankless laundry work to comfort her, and she would cry. Now, her husband's not a bad guy. He's an awesome guy, often a loving father and involved father. He has that weak spot regarding these dehumidifiers. And because he was never in the same room as part of his normal routine, he forgot about them. But he didn't consider the emotional impact that situation had on his wife. Now, these days, he went to therapy. He actually met with this author, went through this story and others. He dutifully empties those two dehumidifier containers every single day. Not because he's submitting to nagging wishes of an ungrateful wife. That whole perspective was wrong. But it's because he loved her and respected her. And he appreciated how much she sacrificed so that he and his kids can have the life they do. 20 years of uninterrupted laundry work for them. He never even thought of how sad or lonely or afraid she used to feel, folding those clothes and noticing those two dehumidifier indicator lights. He didn't know those lights meant what it meant to her. But now he does. Now he does. So he does something about it. He made a decision. I will not allow the woman I love to feel pain because of my blind spots. I'm going to repeat that. Listen carefully. He made a decision not to allow the woman he loves to feel pain because of his blind spots. He was not going to allow her to feel lonely or unloved simply because he was previously too busy or too comfortable to remember the dehumidifiers. And now he does. He embraces the opportunity for his wife to look over at those humidifiers and feel seen and feel respected and feel considered and feel safe and feel loved because those indicator lights are dark and they're running. Once he learned that it was a real emotional experience that he was giving to his wife, he learned to connect with her in other moments, in other conversations, being attuned to the real emotional experience she was having and become mindful of it and become closer to her as a result of that. So in simple English, it's not about those dehumidifiers. It's about learning to mindfully love your wife, not with platitudes, but with action. Emptying these dehumidifiers equals building and maintaining trust with your wife. Donovan, the husband, doesn't care whether they're running as much as she does. But he now really truly cares about her feelings getting hurt. And when he was too busy or not paying attention. So now he's doing the work. Very, very. That is courage, by the way. That is maturity. You know, not to have that ego. What heck, what difference does that make? You know, and be machnia yourself to do that. And the author of this book says, I was too big of a wimp in my own marriage to do things like that. It was above me. Listen behind the words. Listen behind the quote-unquote nagging. Sometimes, yes, you know, the women could give musa to the women on how to react better in certain situations. But beneath that nagging, 90%+ of the time, is a cry. Is a cry. I feel abandoned. I feel lost. I feel unloved. And it's not that we want to be hurtful on purpose. It's not that it's intentionally trying to hurt our spouse. But we need to recognize and to work on being attuned to even these little things. You'll learn from B'noisa Ba'olim Chaveray how tzaddikim cared for even the smallest needs of the quote-unquote smallest people, the little basic needs, to show how much they cared about them. Bracha v'atzlacha.